Well, here, Innocent had a great deal of assistance. Not only was Innocent himself a powerful thinker and had a very coherent idea of that the Crusade should be a massive Christian movement, that the objective should ultimately be Jerusalem, he also was assisted by a number of fiery preachers. There was a great deal of enthusiasm for this venture. And again, Innocent could look with satisfaction on this. It's very similar to the First Crusade, where Urban's call was immediately picked up by popular preachers everywhere. One of the preachers we know about is a fellow named Fulk of Neuilly, who went about to the courts and especially the tournaments, the great pageantries of the nobility of Eastern and Central France, stirring the nobles to assume the cross. He had remarkable success. He moved Count Theobald of Champagne, one of the great peers of France, to assume the cross, and his relative, Louis of Blois, who is a descendant of Stephen of Blois, both of them at a great tournament at Écry, surrounded by their family and kin with the jousts, heard the popular appeal, realized that the embodiment of chivalry is going on Holy Crusade. They pledged themselves, and that example was very, very powerful. Many knights on the spot joined the two great nobles. The news got out to other tournaments and courts that a real crusade was now in the making. It was going to be led by the great nobles. It had the Pope's blessing. There were numerous preachers going about. And the result was a very enthusiastic call of far more than one might expect across France into eastern Germany and northern Italy to go on crusade. And Baldwin the Ninth, the Count of Flanders, again, a descendant of the original Robert, the Count who went on the First Crusade, he took up the appeal with his entire family. He happened to be, by the way, the brother-in-law of the Count of Champagne. So family ties, social ties, kinship, hospitality, all of these networks played to the advantage, and the nobility responded. For many of them, especially in eastern France and Italy, it was something of a relief. Many of these nobles at this point held fiefs to the Hohenstaufens, to the wealth candidates and the Holy Roman Emperor, or their loyalties were divided between the HRE and the King of France. What better way to dodge feudal responsibilities and the difficulty of choosing among lords when you can go on crusade and do the work of God? So there were a number of reasons why this nobility enthusiastically rallied around this new call for a crusade. From the start, however, this crusade had some difficulties, and whatever Innocent's expectations, there were problems. The initial decision of the leadership, which was kept secret from the membership, was that this crusade had learned an important lesson from the Third Crusade. It was clear that Egypt was the source of Saladin's strength. And remembering those earlier interventions in the 12th century, the objective was not to go to Jerusalem directly, but to sail to Acre to equip a fleet, gather up forces, and invade Egypt with the port of Damietta as the first objective. That is, they would force the main port in the Nile Valley, advance on Cairo, and the word went out, Jerusalem will be won on the banks of the Nile. That somehow, by taking Cairo, threatening Jerusalem, that the Ayyubid Sultan would negotiate, would return Jerusalem, and this was not such a far-fetched idea. Perhaps they were a bit sanguine about the nature of the resistance they would encounter, but strategically there was some soundness to this plan. However, it was not going to be popular. All the enthusiastic preaching, all of the efforts were designed to take in Jerusalem. This is what the whole venture was in the first place. And so throughout this Fourth Crusade, there was always a different and independent policy of the main leadership from the majority of the membership. And from the start, the crusade was subject to fragmenting, to breaking apart, as groups would go off to Jerusalem and become impatient. The second was a problem of leadership. Theobald died before the crusade ever set out. They elected instead a fellow by the name of Boniface Montferrat, from that same great family, married into the kings of Jerusalem, brother of old Conrad Montferrat. He was, again, a leading vassal of the Holy Roman Emperor. He was made a leader and brought with him numerous retainers. And maybe they didn't have kings, but they certainly had rival commanders. Boniface and Baldwin, from the start, the Count of Flanders and the Marquis of Montferrat, were rivals for control of the crusade. And despite the fact it was nobility, you still had the same problem. The third point was the decision to go by sea. Now, this was logical. You're going to invade Egypt. You need a fleet. Given the complicated wars going on in the Holy Roman Empire and the divided loyalties, the only city available was Venice, which really had stood aside from Western Europe. Venice was essentially a Byzantine city-state, and this is the first time the Venetians actively got involved in a crusade, rather than just showing up to take an incidental port on the Levantine shore. And the then reigning doge or duke was a man named Enrico Dondolo, and they negotiated. In fact, the historian Geoffrey Villehardouin, who wrote about the crusade, negotiated a treaty with Venice in the winter of 1200-1201, and the Venetians agreed to convey a major force to the Levant. They negotiated to convey 4,500 knights, 9,000 squires, and 34,000 infantry with horses at a price of 85,000 marks of cologne, which was not an outrageous price. It was certainly in line with what was expected at the time. It was an enormous amount of money. It was the equivalent of 13.6 million English silver pennies, or well over a million Byzantine gold coins, hyperpereia. This was a substantial investment. The Venetians suspended their normal shipping for a year and a half in order to build this fleet. And it was ready to go. The ships, the supplies, the galleys, all ready to go in 1202. They were set sail. The secret objective was Egypt. The Doge knew that. The Crusader leadership knew that. The trouble was, in April of 1202, only half of the Crusaders showed up. It was completely chaotic in the camp at the Lido. Many of the Crusaders lacked money. Many of them had made their way on their own. Others had not even set out. And Venice is now facing financial ruin.